I mean, don't you think too, if you look at it now versus hearing other generations talk about college, don't you feel now is that in our world today, there's nothing that you can't learn or knowledge you can't gain outside of an institution?
Absolutely. YouTube is an amazing platform. And, you know, the thing I always tell people is that, you know, in the 70s, 80s, you know, and any time before then, it was worth it to go to college. But the problem is that the cost of the education keeps going up while the quality of that education keeps going down.
She's truly a breath of fresh air. Tracy ignites dreams. And when you walk away from a meeting with Tracy Martin, you walk away with what I call a ripple effect.
And the type of energy that was radiating from her was like a ripple effect. I never met someone like her before, and I knew that her intentions were pure, and she spoke nothing but the truth.
I couldn't imagine, honestly, anybody else who I've ever met in my life being as helpful as Tracy's been towards me and the rest of my family.
Whatever problem you've got, however dark it may be, there is no judgment, there is no finger pointing, there is only healing.
Check in with Tracy. Do the work. You got this.
Welcome to the TLM Method Podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Martin. This podcast exists to amplify the voices of Gen Z and those that are creating change in the world, to call parents to action in raising healthy, whole young adults, and to counteract the current cultural narrative that is giving you permission and at times encouraging you to live an immoral and mediocre life. I'm not calling you out. I'm calling you to action in your own life. A few years ago, a friend of mine said to me, "Hey T, you're the stone that's thrown in the water, and the clients that you work with and the people that hear you speak are the ripple effect that go out and create change in the world." That's what I'm doing. I'm calling you to action and calling you to create your own ripple effect of change. Hello and welcome back to the TLM Method Podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Martin, and we are going to dive into probably one of my favorite subjects is getting to know my ambassadors and some of the clients that I have worked with over the years. Today is a good one. It's with one of my favorites, Drew Winkler, and I will definitely let him speak on his own behalf. But in the meantime, I want to let you know that I started working with him a few years ago. The point of entry for me to be his coach was really some anxiety and some fear that he was having, and it was showing up as physical in his body and in his mental as well, trying to figure out where it was coming from. So we were able to jump in and really deep dive and answer a lot of questions and get to the point of a solution, but then it just kept rolling. And he came in for some of our workshops. He met some of the great ambassadors that we work with, and it just went from there. So I'm going to let Drew kind of give a little background, but the reason why I had him on here is because he went to UCLA and he dropped out and he took a different path, which, you know, I'm all about that, and decided to kind of go down the path less traveled, even though sometimes there's lots of bumps on there. So that's really what in a nutshell, our conversation is going to be about. But more importantly, it's who you are when you're doing that, the growth that has happened, some of the things that he's discovered about himself along the way, and also how it's affected himself, his family, and all those around him, and where he's going to go with it. So, Drew, tell me a little bit about yourself and a little background.
Sure. So, my name's Drew. Just turned 21 last month. I wish I turned 21 last year.
And I missed it.
Yeah, it was a fun trip. A little bit about myself. You know, I grew up in Palm Springs, Coachella Valley area. And, you know, I grew up there until I was about 15 years old. Then I moved out my junior year of high school. Moved there to San Diego County, San Diego area. And after I graduated high school, I spent 2 years in high school in San Diego. I decided to go and do some, web design and web development up at UCLA. Was not a fan of it. If you want to become depressed, that's what you do. You go and learn how to code.
What was the first thing that you knew that it wasn't a right fit for you?
Well, it's funny because I thought it was the right fit for me in the sense that, you know, back then I was a huge gamer and I still dabble in games here and there, but I was really into it back then. And I thought, well, you know, I like computers. I like building computers. I thought, you know, it might be a good pathway for me to go into it. And then, you know, when I got there, it was just not what I expected. It was mind-numbing. It is every bit as time-consuming as writing an essay, just minus all the interest. And
so now what year was that?
So that was 2020, right before COVID started. Okay. So I started in September of 2019, and I was still living in San Diego at the time. So I would actually take the train from North County, San Diego, 2 hours every week to LA. I would stay with my cousins for 3 or 4 days, and then I would go back because I hate LA.
Yeah.
So I started in September, and then I came, and then I stopped it in March or April, right as COVID.
So you went one semester.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Yeah, I remember the last two classes that we did, everyone was forced to do it online.
Okay.
So.
Which changed, I think, a lot of people's experience.
Yeah, well, that was one of the reasons why I decided not to go back in general, because I've always never been a school person to begin with. And, you know, trying to learn something online, I knew that was not going to be the fit for me. Yeah. So I'm like, fuck, why am I going to spend money to just be online and not really learn what I'm trying to learn? So, I mean, it's like, I taught myself how to build computers. I'm a smart person. At least I think I'm smart.
You are.
So if I can teach myself how to do that, I'm sure I could teach myself how to do other things. And plus, like I said, it's a mind-numbing process learning to code. It's not, I mean, if you're the type of person who likes to be by yourself, you know, who likes, you know, I guess that process, go for it. It's for you. But for me, not my deal.
Well, don't you think too, and I don't know exactly what the language was, but because Drew's parents are divorced. So he's from a divorced home. But don't you think that the language from your mom and your dad, the influence of this is the path that you have to take, how much of that was your choice and how much of that was influenced by your parents to where that was the final decision?
So I was actually very lucky in that sense, because even though my parents were never on the same page on a lot of things, they always gave me that freedom to choose. They were all for help, you know, letting me go to UCLA. And then when I told them, you know, it's like, I'm not really sure if college is the right deal for you. My dad was way more lenient with me. He's like, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's, you know, not the best investment of money and time and resources. My mom, she was on the fence, but, you know, after I had eventually ended up getting my real estate license, started working in that field, where she's like, yeah, that was the right decision too.
I mean, and don't you think too, if you look at it now versus hearing other generations talk about college, don't you feel now is that in our world today, there's nothing that you can't learn or knowledge you can't gain outside of an institution?
Absolutely. YouTube is an amazing platform. And, you know, the thing I always tell people is that, you know, in the 70s, 80s, you know, and any time before then, it was worth it to go to college. But the problem is that the cost of the education keeps going up while the quality of that education keeps going down every single year. And, you know, now if you do get a college degree, you have an edge over 8% of the population now versus when it was actually worth it to go to college. It was about, I don't even know what the percentages were, but
I chose not to go that route. Yeah. So, I mean, I think pointing that out with people, because that's a big thing. A lot of the kids that we're coaching between like 16 and 18, the language is always, what do you want to do? Who do you want to be? Or not even who you want to be. What do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life? Where are you going? What is your plan? And you get so bogged down with all the information, all the outside noise, that people are not asking the questions of actually, what kind of a life do you want to live?
Yeah.
And I think those are always questions that we do in the coaching studio for sure, is like, you know, who are you? Who are you becoming? What kind of a life do you want? Because you really lived a life, and you are living a life by design, not by default, which is one of the big things that we talk about, because otherwise people kind of fall into the next thing. So it's like you go to high school, then you automatically go to college. Then if you want to go for an accelerated master's or master's, you kind of just roll down with everything. And then all of a sudden you wake up at 30 and go, holy crap.
Yeah.
You know, what did I miss? And the other thing that I think people don't realize too is college is a business.
It is.
It is a business 100%.
And it's designed to scam the average American consumer.
Right.
That's what it's for.
It is. And then the funny thing about that is that if you owned a company and it wasn't performing year after year after year, you'd go back and look at the structure and think something's not working, or you would definitely go out of business. And I think because the mindset of people, you know, it's like, we'll just go. You know, and you've heard me say before, I believe college can be adult daycare, you know, because everybody goes there, their chicken nuggets just change size, I think. You know, they're wearing their pajamas, you know, they're only going to a few classes a week, but yet you're paying for all this other stuff. So I commend you on making that jump. And I know just from working with you, it was not an easy process to get you where you are right now. Yeah. So let me ask you another question. So when you decided that you were going to jump and you were done with UCLA and we met, you were just starting to do the real estate school. Or you were getting ready to do it, and you had had some health issues with some anxiety. So talk about that.
Yeah, so right after UCLA happened, I don't know what caused it, but it was right after I dropped out. I remember I woke up in the middle of the night, and I felt like, you know, I had something stuck in my throat. Now, it eventually got to the point to where I was afraid to eat food because I constantly had that feeling in my throat. You know, not, you know, my dad, he, you know, as much as I love him, he was a little bit old fashioned and he's saying, oh, it's all in your head. You're just making it up, so on and so forth. But he didn't understand the severity of it. We eventually went to a doctor and it turned out that I actually did have something physically wrong where it was my esophagus that was tightening up. There was no reason for it to happen. It just sometimes happens to people. And, you know, because of that, growing up, I was a happy kid. I never experienced anxiety or depression or anything like that.
You didn't even know the language.
No, none of it whatsoever. So when I was having those feelings of being afraid that I was going to choke and die, I was getting panic attacks and I didn't know how to regulate it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to manage it. And I would get to the point to where I was hyperventilating so much, my hands would curl up. Which is an actual physical reaction when, what is it, you over-oxidize your blood? Yeah. And I, you know.
Well, and I think, not to interrupt you real quick, but I think in your situation, you know, because a lot of parents do hear their kids say something and then they attach their point of view to it and they dismiss you.
Yeah.
Versus your anxiety was a reaction to the physical part.
Yeah, exactly.
One didn't come before the other.
No.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, you know, it got to the point to where, you know, we called the ambulance because we're like, what the fuck is happening to him? This has never happened before. You know, we thought I was, you know, going to die or something like that. Never experienced something like that. So eventually, like I said, we went to the doctor, learned that, you know, my esophagus was tightening up. They had to put me on to sleep. They put a camera. And
I remember that.
Yeah, they had to put a camera down my throat and a balloon where they put it down in there and then they inflate it to increase the diameter of my esophagus. They had to do it once and then another time 5 months later, and that was about 2.5 years ago. And no problem since then, but that's what was causing it. And, you know, after that, no problems whatsoever, no more anxiety. It's just, I don't know, act of God or something.
That's when you went into taking your real estate course.
Yeah, so that's right around the time where I met you, and that's the reason why I got into contact with you is because you're friends with my aunt Dory, and she recommended that I go and talk to you. So you helped me, you know, work through that aspect of the anxiety and getting over that. But also, that's when you met me was when I was just writing, just getting into the real estate. Yeah.
Right. So was that a natural progression because your dad does it, or was that something you've been interested in?
So it's a little bit of a combination of both. I've always liked the idea of real estate. I've liked the idea of, you know, gaining some type of passive income. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different ways you could do that in terms of real estate. You could be active and passive.
Right.
You know, my dad always worked from home, and so I would always see him walking back and forth in the house on speakerphone on business calls. And so I already kind of had a general idea of, you know, what that world was like.
Well, it was through osmosis, right? It was you were living in that too, and you could also see that your dad probably had more freedom than other people's parents did.
Yeah.
You know, he was able to go and do more things, which I think is a big thing when you step out of the world of college, which is the institutional form that we live in, that you you have the structure. Mm-hmm. I think it also, for me, just working with you as someone who you want to go and travel and do things, it feeds your soul on a different level and
Absolutely.
Answers the question more.
Absolutely. I mean, I just got back from Brazil. I was there for my 21st birthday. I was able to see some family, you know, just going there and experiencing a different culture, one, you know, grows you, you know, it helps you grow, number one. Number two, you know, Brazil is obviously, you know, not exactly the safest or the cleanest or, you know, wealthy country in the world. And so when you get there and you see how other people live in the favelas and whatnot, and then I come back here to the States, I have a whole new appreciation for the country that I live in.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I like, you know, the business in real estate where I can get that freedom. I can go and travel more and, you know, have more adventures.
What was your biggest resistance to pulling the trigger in that area?
To be able to
go into real estate and to actually jump in and make it something that was viable for you to do, since you decided to go down a different path of not, like most kids your generation, mm-hmm. your age right now, are diving into college. And even though they're, you know, I mean, it's not always working out the way that they want it to.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, there wasn't really like a big jump. It just felt right.
Yeah.
That's what it was. You know, and I can't really explain it. It just felt like the right move. Growing up, I had great grades growing up, you know, but it wasn't because I was smarter than the other kids. It was because I knew how to play the school's game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my econ class, my teacher would always take the same route around the classroom to see if we had done our homework. I was always, he would take two different routes, and I could tell which route he would take. And so he wouldn't even check to see if we had done the homework correctly. He would just check to see if we had did the homework. And so I would literally be in class, first period, doing my homework once he starts checking people's homework. By the time he got to me, I just showed him that I did it, and I got 100 on all my homework assignments. It's not difficult to cheat school. It really is.
Well, it was not difficult to cheat it, especially during 2020 and when everything was. Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody cheated. Everybody lost some cognitive functioning, I think. I saw that more than anything. So now that you're kind of on the other side of it, and I like when you said, Drew, honestly, and we've done that work here, is that it felt right. You know, it wasn't something that you had to force. It wasn't something that somebody else expected you to do. You were willing to just kind of pay attention and to try it on. And that, to me, is the biggest thing with a lot of kids right now trying to make their choices on, do I go to college? Do I drop out? You know, what do I do? They're not paying attention to who they are.
Yeah.
So when you came here for the first workshop that we did, I can't remember exactly where you were in this journey.
Was it the first time I had come out to Arizona?
I think so.
Okay. So I was in the position where it was for my 19th birthday, if you remember.
Okay.
So we were out in September of 2020. I came out here in September of 2020. Was it the guys mastermind? I think it was an all guys mastermind.
I think it was all guys.
And, you know, you had like the 3-day immersion thing set up for me. And this was before I had gotten my esophagus enlarged again. Sorry, what was the question you were asking?
So when you were here the first time, where were you at?
Where was I?
Yeah, like in your thought process and your journey, what you perceived as your journey.
So I was in the point where, you know, I was just about to start. No, I had already started real estate school. So what I actually did was while I was in high school, I had already passed the courses to get my real estate license. So you got to pass the courses, and then you got to take the state exam in your respective state, and then you get your license. The problem is that you got to take the state exam when you're 18 years old. Was it 18?
Well, you couldn't either because everything was shut down with COVID.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. So by the time I had turned 18, COVID was starting to get shut down. No, I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. I remember the storyline now. So I turned 18 in September of 2019. September is when I decided to go to UCLA and not take the state exam just yet and try out the coding. The coding wasn't my deal. So now we're in March of 2020. COVID started and all the testing facilities
were
closed.
Shut down. That's
exactly.
Right.
So that's what happened. And so I had, even though I had passed the courses when I was in high school, I couldn't take the state exam until after COVID was over, which was, I finally took it April 7th of 2021.
Yeah, that's right.
Is when I took it. So at that point I was waiting because I wanted to get my license, but I couldn't because, you know, it's COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That crazy thing.
So it was, I was in the point where I was getting better with the anxiety. I was learning how to manage it more, and I knew what it was because there was nothing stuck in my throat.
Yeah.
But it was also a level of frustration too. It's like, I can't move on with my life because of other people's fear.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love how you put that, because that's exactly what happened to a lot of people. And so we took advantage of it here to be able to do some different masterminds and some organized workshops, because everything was shut down.
Yeah.
You know, so when you came here and you met the group and you met everyone, and you kind of like dove into how this process works, and we did the 3-day immersive.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think was your, for you personally, not even what you were dealing with as far as like, you know, COVID, school, wanting to do the test and everything, what do you think was your biggest takeaway from being here with the 3-day immersive and the work that we do here? What was that for you personally?
Well, for me, it was, you know, I'm an only child, and, you know, to expand upon that, I'm the only person in my age group and my extended family. So all my cousins are either in their 30s and have their own kids, which are about, the oldest is like 7 or 8 right now. So I've got
gap.
I've got nobody in my age range right now. So all the Thanksgiving holidays, all Christmas, all that stuff, I was the only kid everywhere. And so I learned how to talk to adults really quickly. And that's always isolated me with other people in my age group, especially during high school. It's not that I didn't get along with a lot of people in high school. It's more so that I just didn't have much things in common with them. When I finally came here, though, I finally found people that were in my age. And I'm trying to figure out a way to say this without, you know, sounding like I've got such a big head.
It's okay. There's no judgment here.
But I was finally able to find people my age who, I'm just going to say it, thought at the same level that I thought.
Yeah.
And perceived reality.
Right.
On the same level that I did.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't.
Well, you're not dancing half naked on TikTok. You're not doing all kinds of other stuff. And I think the thing, too, I think with that is that a lot of people that I work with and that we have in the events or whatever, they say the same thing, because you're questioning the world around you. You're asking questions about the culture that's changing. You're seeing the world shifting, and you're asking, what's my future going to be like?
Yeah.
And there's only, you know, there's a demographic that are asking those same questions. And I think that when you get into a room that is, you can ask the questions without having any of the issues, and then we can kind of seek and try to find solutions or answers, I think you do feel connected.
Yeah, and that's what I would say my main takeaway was. It's like, wow, I'm not alone. No. I'm not the only one.
No. So. And I think, too, I think that, and then just watching you grow up and kind of step into the young man you're going to be and where you're going, what do you think for you now is like your biggest challenge to continue where you want to go? Because I know, and even like whether you want to talk about like family, you know, I know that the relationships in your mom and your dad and you guys have gotten better. I think is really important. So so talk about that a little bit. Talk about how like that shifted a little bit in your family.
What as far as the divorce?
About how the communication opened up more, the more that you figured out to kind of speak on your own behalf.
Yeah. So I mean, growing up, my parents fought a lot, and you know, it's debated as to who started the fights. That doesn't really fucking matter.
No.
But the problem growing up is that one party usually felt like they weren't being listened to, and the other party felt like that they were listening to them, but they weren't. And that was a combination on both sides. Now, you know, that my parents are separated and that I've sort of grown up more, it's funny, I'm kind of like the mediator between them. And so while their communication has gotten better, because I've taken what I've learned with you and applied it, you know, to that aspect of my life, I still have to be like the coach of the family almost.
Yeah.
For example, I'll have one parent say, hey, can you tell, I'll have parent X say, hey, tell parent Y this. I'm like, well, why do I have to tell them that? Why don't you call them and you tell them? I can't be, you know, your human messenger boy.
Yeah.
They're finally listening to me. It took about, you know, 21 years, but they're finally listening to me, and I think they're getting better.
Yeah.
And that's
a cool thing, though, too, is the fact that we have to grow as families. And I think sometimes without the communication, you finding your voice, and also being able to speak honestly and openly and not be so attached to, well, this person's going to be mad at me or that person's going to be mad at me. Because it really comes down to how are you healing a family? Mm-hmm. Because it's not just your parents' generation, it's your generation. Then when you meet someone, if you want to have a family, it's how you parent. Yeah. And I think that's always been in my mind when I look at you guys and I work with you guys. And it really is like, how holistically whole is this person? Because you might be 21 now, but when you meet someone and you start to create your own life together, you're going to go back and draw from your experience.
Yeah.
And unless you've disrupted that and had your own knowing, sometimes you pull that shit with you.
And I had to disrupt it because I could point out many things, and I'm not going to point it out here, but there's many things that I could point out in my parents' relationships that I didn't like and I don't want to bring. And I had to make a conscious decision to eject it out of the airlock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's one of the questions we asked too, is what have you learned that you want to take with you in your own parenting style? And what have you learned that you're going to let go? And it's not that it's, I think we get so tripped up when we feel like it's blaming or whatever. It's not, I'm a parent of two daughters. I've made mistakes.
Everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah, but the only way we get through them is to communicate about them really openly and honestly. And I love that you've gotten to that point of being able to say, hey, by the way, I'm not going to be the one to mediate this. I love you both, or whatever the situation may be. You know, I have some kids who their parents have remarried. And they have to navigate that. And it just comes down to, I think, for me, observing your journey is really finding your voice, not being afraid to use it, and being willing to know that you're going to make a mistake. You're trying to be authentic. But until you're able to actually extract yourself out of the world, everyone else's opinion, and then also speak your truth. Yeah. I think it comes down to you're going to continue to kind of just go along with everything. And that was one of the biggest things just from working with you is that you really, you took that and you ran with it and you realized that I actually can make things different. So you're in real estate, you're doing well.
Yeah.
You're definitely making a life of your own.
Yeah.
So what's the next 12 months going to hold for Drew?
I don't fucking know.
Look. That's the answer. That's
look,
the answer.
Look, no, here's the deal. So I've got a great setup with the guys that I'm working with. I'm still learning the business. I've only been, working with these guys, and to clear everything up, I'm in the hard money lending business. So we lend on a variety of different assets, and we have our own fund. Mm-hmm. And these are all private investors that we use and whatnot. So it's not a bank's money, it's all private money. And it's a great business to be in. I've been in it for 9 months now. I'm not going to say how much I've made, but I know that I've made more than the average 4-year graduate so far.
Yep.
So it's going really well. That being said, I still have a lot to learn. Mm-hmm. You know, the guys that I'm working with, it's three brothers. So that's a total of 140 some odd years of experience that I can, absorb. The problem is that I'm in California. Mm-hmm. And, as much as I love the beaches in California, and, the surf culture and whatnot.
Right.
I need to get out of there. Not just because of the politics, but just because of how fucking expensive it is.
Yeah.
I want to move out. I want to become my own person. But I'm still living with my mom because I can't afford to.
It's crazy.
It's ridiculous out there.
Well, and I think there's a realistic conversation around that.
Yeah.
It's like you want to. Going back to what I was talking about, like when you go to a 4-year college, it really is a placeholder in today's world because you're reliant upon somebody else to pay your college, unless you're very, proactive and you're doing your own school, which if that's the case and you got a loan, I feel bad for that.
Yeah.
But it's a choice you make. Mm-hmm. But I think it comes down to being able to plan for what you want. And so if you know where you're going to go and you lay a plan, you really have to discipline yourself at that point.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So where are you at now? I know the other part of it we talked about a little bit was when we first started working together, it was your mom works out a lot and that was something that she wanted you to do. And you've definitely changed that life.
Yeah. So, and this circles back to the problem that I was having with my throat because, I felt like I was going to choke and die on food. I wasn't eating, nearly as much as a regular 19-year-old should.
Right.
So when I was 19 years old, I was about 145 pounds, not extremely underweight, but not at a healthy weight either.
Right.
I was skinny, and I wasn't getting a lot of sunlight because when you don't have food in your body. You don't have the energy to want to go outside. And so you're right. My mom is a personal trainer. Shout out. What's her Instagram handle? DaisyFit1. Daisy is spelled D-E-I-S-E.
Nice.
Because she's from Brazil. That's, you know, where my family's from. And so she helped me get into it, as well as her boyfriend, Chris, who's fucking monster. Chris is a really cool dude.
I love it.
He's like 280 pounds. He's been working out for past 40 some odd years. He's turning 50, and he was working out since he was 16 years old. So however many years that is.
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Exactly.
I'm right in the same stand.
So anyways, I started with them in February of 2021 is when I really started taking the training seriously.
Right.
In 8 months, I went from 145 pounds to 185 pounds. So 40 pound increase. And now I'm a little over 200 pounds.
Nice.
Not fat, not dirty bulking, like clean bulking. My goal is to eventually get to, 220 lean, 210 lean. I think that's a good.
I think it would be great.
Yeah.
I think it was fun to watch you too, mm-hmm. because like even when you would come here and we would do like our Wolfpack workouts and that, and just I have the process videos of mm-hmm. watching you when you were here at 145 yeah. versus when you are now.
Yeah.
And don't you think that there's a level of growth that can't happen Absolutely. For somebody that doesn't take that on?
Absolutely. If you don't work out, fucking, I don't care.
Like, yeah.
It's so good for you, not just physically, because physically I had a problem with my right knee where my patella liked to move back and forth, or not back and forth, liked to move laterally. Is that right?
Yeah.
Left to right laterally. Yeah. And it was causing me some knee pain. It wasn't until I started working out and really building up the muscles around it and tightening it to where the pain is virtually gone. So first of all, it relieves, not only do you look good, but also relieves physical pain. But also mentally, you feel more confident in yourself. You know, you're not afraid. Well, this could also be because I was also in drama class growing up, which is the one thing I am glad I went to school for.
Yeah.
Drama class and theatrics. I'm not a fan of forcing people to do things they don't like, but if you've never taken a theater or a drama class,
It's
the things that you learn in that, you know, building self-confidence and not being afraid to go and talk in front of a room of 200 yep. people, like, you know, what was it last week? 2 weeks ago, we had a seminar where a bunch of different lenders and borrowers and whatnot all got together. It's called C2 Financial. And I went with the guys who worked with me and, you know, we had our table set up and, you know, I had to essentially answer questions mm-hmm. to people who came up saying, like, hey, you're a Seattle Funding Group. What do you do? I had to, you know, I wasn't expecting to do that. Another thing I wasn't expecting doing is that the guys had to go and leave and do something for, I think they had to go look at a property in the middle of the day. So they left me there by myself and they had something called a lightning round. The lightning round was when you get up in front of this entire room of like 400 people mm-hmm. or something, and you have about a minute and 15 seconds to explain who you are, what you do, and this
elevator
company.
Pitch.
Exactly, the elevator pitch. I wasn't expecting to do that, so they left me there, and I did it by myself. It's like, you know, I think I did a good job.
Well, see, that's another thing that I love about what you did, Drew, is because you can sit in a classroom and do this in front of your peers. And it is not what it is in the quote unquote real world. No. When you're thrown into the fire and you have nothing, no other option but to do it, that's really the experience that you want.
Well, the way that I look at it too is that the real world isn't high school. You know, if you fuck up on stage, people aren't going to make fun of you. They're just going to say, oh yeah, that happened. No one gives a fuck.
Exactly.
So if you succeed, then people are going to remember you. I remember I said, while I was on stage, I said, hey, I'm the intern. This is my first time doing this. So, you know, forgive me if I screw up. And then everyone started to laugh. So that mm-hmm. was a great way to make yourself memorable is just to be funny.
To be humble.
Exactly.
I mean, I think to just be up there and tell the truth.
Exactly. And like you said, being humble got a laugh and then people remembered me for it. Then afterwards, when I went back to my booth, every single person that came up to talk to me and ask more questions about Seattle Funding Group said, oh, so you're just the intern, right? Mm-hmm. It's a great... I guess ice.
That's your new nickname.
Yeah, intern.
The intern.
Yeah, the intern.
No, but don't you think? I mean, if you had to summarize all this, which I think it's, I mean, I want to have you back on again too, whenever you come back, as he's bolting out of here. But I think the thing too is that, you know, you're seeking who you are, number one. You're willing to step out of the box and be willing to, like you said, be humble, be humbled, and try something new. What would you say to people that are afraid? And I don't even know if the word fear is really true. I mean, I think a lot of it is listening to somebody else's opinion. Yeah. I think a lot of it is listening to the, I mean, just even just the counseling system within high schools and colleges is that take the aptitude test, you're going to be an elevator repair person. You know, they're not even looking at who you are. And but yet these kids blindly follow because it becomes part of that. What would you say to someone who was kind of in your spot of, because we have a lot of high school, college, a lot of college going out to workforce. You know, what would you say to somebody who was in that space and who's like, it just didn't, it wasn't what they thought was for them, but they did it anyway. And when they decided to pull the trigger to turn a different direction?
I would say, if it scares you, go and do it. That's what I would say. Because it was, well, for me, it wasn't necessarily scary, but if you follow your fear, that's where you'll grow. And it might be scary, but you'll know if it's the right move for you. Like you said, it's a feeling.
Yeah. So we've worked together for like 3 years. Yeah. What is your top three takeaways from the growth of Drew in those 3 years from working together?
That's a heavy question.
I know.
God, where do I start with that? Top three takeaways. Well, for starters, you know, it's, this is more of a social thing in the aspect of, you know, we don't have to do exactly, or not exactly, we don't have to do what the norm is. You know, it's like you've said multiple times, you know, when you went to college, being a rebel was, you know, going out, smoking, drinking, doing stuff like that, partying. But the script has flipped now.
Yep.
So now the definition of rebel means to be someone who gets your shit together, because we're the minority right now. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the first takeaway would be to not be afraid to be a modern rebel.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
So that's the first one. Second takeaway is, you know, absolutely the, you know, the physical aspect of training and working out. It's amazing for your mind, body, soul. You feel better. You look better. You know, if you're into vanity and that kind of thing.
Well, but just to poke a hole in that, yeah, functionality and mobility, longevity. I think when you started, because I started training when I was, I mean, I've been an athlete all my life, seriously training at 16, you know, and I mean, I haven't missed anything. And I know that the functionality, the mobility, the longevity, the recovery, you guys get that and instill that at your age, and you take it with you for the rest of your life. You're limitless at that point.
Absolutely.
So number three.
Number three is to not be afraid to question things. There's so many things in our society that we've been conditioned to believe is true when it's just, it couldn't be further from it. You know, I know we've been talking about college a lot, but, you know, every educator is going to tell you out there, oh, best way to make money right nowadays, go out, go to college, get a degree, go do this, go do that. It's not like that anymore. We're living in a society. we're living in an era which is unique to all other eras that have existed on Earth, in the sense that you could blow up like that overnight. Mm-hmm. Now, this is going to be some like Gary Vee talk now.
That's okay. Lay it down.
But, you know, you have, it's like you said earlier, you have the ability to learn quite literally anything you want nowadays for free. Mm-hmm. You don't need it. Like, if you want to go and get a piece of paper, if you want to be a lawyer, if you want to be a doctor, sure, go to school. But
you're still going to learn the wrong thing if you're going to school for a doctor. Go ahead. Had to put that in there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're not wrong.
That's a whole other podcast.
But, you know, the schooling system was made to make workers. You know, that's why, and you guys have probably seen this video. What was his name? Prince EA. He made the video about where, you know, students are put in rows because that's how the rows are in factories. Mm-hmm. They have to raise their hands because that's what how they would say, hey, I need to use the restroom.
Yep.
But that's not how the modern world is. Yeah. The modern world needs thinkers. We need specifically critical thinkers. We need creatives.
Independent thinkers.
Exactly. That's what we need right now. And that's what the modern world is going to reward, not just, you know, monetarily speaking, but also socially and
Well, influence.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's one of the things I think that's really important is like that why this podcast exists is to give you guys your voices, because when you hear that message from a 21-year-old that's gone through everything from college dropout, being, you know, from a divorced family, being able to pull that back together again, have healthy relationships, you know, creating a life for yourself. And then the next podcast might be a relationship, whatever that is, or your future self. I mean, I think that being fearless is not, I mean, you're going to have fear, but you have to do things scared, mm-hmm. you know, is the best thing to say, I think. And I think your top three takeaways, if I had to, just as your coach for so many years and being able to have the privilege to do that, by the way, I've watched you grow. And when you say to not be afraid to question, that makes my heart jump, because that's all I ever want you guys to do is ask questions and not be afraid to piss someone off.
Yeah.
In order to do that, because we've gotten to this place in this world by not asking the right questions.
Absolutely.
So no, I appreciate it. So any last things that you want these guys to know about you, or, you know, what you can share about any of your wisdom or anything that's been like really a favorite thing for you that you bounce back on when things get rough?
Fuck, you're hitting me with these heavy questions,
I know.
T. And I'm saying this right now because I'm stalling, because I'm trying to think of something. So something that I would say to everyone, I would say probably, you know, there's a quote from a book that I haven't read, which I should read. but I know the quote, and it's a really great quote. It's from T.E. Lawrence's, a.k.a. Lawrence of Arabia, The Seven Pillars of Wisdom. And the quote goes, let me pull it up here real fast. It is... Sorry. I wasn't planning on this question, guys. I could, like, paraphrase it, but I don't want to paraphrase it. I want to give it verbatim. Here we go. So the quote is, "All men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds wake in the day to find it was vanity. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous men, for they may act on their dreams with open eyes to make it possible." So my thing for everyone is don't be complacent. Don't accept things for what they are. Go out there and be the change that you want to see in the world. And be a rebel.
I love it. I love it. You guys have heard it here. We cannot wait to share more of these with you. And more importantly, go out and create your own ripple effect of change. Thank you for joining us today on the TLM Method podcast. I hope that you've enjoyed the time that you've spent with us. And more importantly, I hope that we make you think. For more information about what we do, our work, and our message, please visit us at our website at officiallytracymartin.com. And that Tracy is T-R-A-C-E-Y. Or you can find us on Instagram at officiallytracymartin. We look forward to having you with us for more episodes of the TLM Method podcast.